RadioMD.com.
The eye care revolution is here. Time for the Wizard of Eyes. Here's Dr. Robert Abel Jr.
Well, I have one of the country's leading experts on cornea and external diseases, Dr. Ravi Patel, back again with us from Atlantic Physicians in Monmouth, New Jersey, a stellar surgeon and academician. And we're going to talk about shingles around the eye. It's kind of like the eye care revulsion, because when it's around the eye, it is a painful, it's a mess. So Ravi, tell us a little bit about how it starts and what it looks like.
You know, shingles is something that has really become prominent in all of our clinics over the past 10 to 15 years. It's something that comes in, it can start with some of the most nonspecific symptoms. Patients can come in with a little bit of pain around the eyes. They can come in with a little bit of discomfort. And then eventually it leads to that classic rash, those skin vesicles or those little blisters that patients see on their skin with redness and pain and swelling. And some patients, when they get it in the eye and not just around the eye, it can be extraordinarily debilitating to their vision.
Would you say early diagnosis is the key to success in limiting the virulence or managing the symptoms?
You know, I think early diagnosis most certainly is key, but more important than that is even prevention. Early diagnosis is important because the sooner that somebody can say, hey, this is shingles, the patient can get started on the appropriate antiviral treatment and other therapies that can help to limit the pain that the patients experience after shingles, as well as the duration of the disease. But truthfully speaking, I think the most important part is trying to prevent this very, very debilitating eye disease.
I would say that most ophthalmologists believe that if the tip of the nose is involved, which is the anterior ethmoidal nerve, that the eye will be involved. Would you say that's valid? Or is losing sensation to the eye more predictive?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, in the patients that have the right anatomy, what you've described as Hutchinson's sign, where they have a blister on the tip of their nose, it seems to be the same nerves that invade around the eyes. Patients can be quite symptomatic with that. But I think the second part of what you said is probably more accurate. Loss of sensation in and around the eyes, or more importantly, that fiery nerve pain that patients get around the eyelids and the eye itself, is probably more predictive for ocular-involving shingles.
I'm just going to work backwards a second. Somebody had the varicella zoster vaccine, the Zovirax vaccine, how often are they going to get a mild case of shingles? And it would be different than the real event?
You know, that's an interesting question. The varicella zoster vaccine is probably one of the most effective vaccines in adulthood. It was FDA approved back in 2008 for immunocompetent patients over the age of 60, and it showed a decrease of shingles by about 50%. And in 2011, it was again FDA approved for patients over the age of 50, and it showed a 70% decrease in the rate of developing shingles. So how many patients will still get a case of shingles or presumably a milder case of shingles is substantially lower after taking the live vaccine. And for a disease that affects, you know, about, I think the numbers are somewhere between 1 and 1.5 million people a year in the U.S., that's a pretty significant number.
That is a very significant number, especially when you start realizing it's over 50 or over 60 that get it. What's fascinating here is looking at the people who might get it from the vaccine or who even get it initially. I would say that the common denominator is there's immunocompromise in some capacity. Would you agree?
That's true. I think that in some way, shape, or form, your host immune system isn't as strong as it could be, whether it's from things like stress, poor diet, or even contact with patients that have active shingles. Any of these can kind of weaken your immune system to make you more susceptible to an outbreak of shingles. But what's even more interesting than the shingles disease itself is we're finding more and more places where this varicella zoster virus, or the virus that causes shingles, affects. It increases your risk for developing stroke. And more recently, in 2015, we've learned that it increases your risk of heart disease. And that, I think, is truly remarkable.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Earlier today, in a previous segment, we discussed a new book by Jerry LaMole and his colleagues called After Cancer Care. And it's so dynamic because it's like life begins anew for anybody. It applies to anybody. And if you're doing the vitamin D and the vitamins and looking at your food and doing some exercise, strengthening your telomeres, you're going to reduce all kinds of stuff, including the shingles.
Absolutely. I think having a healthier approach to life and vision, people, you know, there's countless positive benefits from changing your lifestyle in that fashion.
There's a couple articles of interest that vitamin D in children, if they have a normal level, they have the same resistance to influenza A as those who get the vaccine. And in endemic areas in Russia, if people have a normal vitamin D level, they're 50% less incidence of tuberculosis. So it's like everyone should be on vitamin D.
It sounds like it. And more patients there I now see come in with labs from their primary care provider, where they've been diagnosed with vitamin D deficiency. I think in the latitudes that we live in, where there just isn't enough sun exposure to make your own natural vitamin C.
Gotcha.
Yep.
So Mrs. Monica Jones comes in. She's got these little red blisters on her forehead, maybe one or two on the lids. Her eye is a little teary. How do you examine her? What do you look for?
So I think first, any patient that comes in with any problems, including rashes around the eyes, deserves a thorough eye exam. The first thing is, close shingles is a clinical diagnosis from just looking at the patient from across the room. You can see the classic distribution where the rash is isolated to one side of the face and one distribution of the trigeminal nerve. And then you take a more detailed look at the eye and you see, hey, is the redness and tearing that Mrs. Jones is having related to dryness on the ocular surface that shingles causes in almost 100% of patients? Or is it a marker of something more insidious and severe, like shingles inside of the eye causing inflammation and blurred vision in the eye? Regardless of where it starts, the treatment of shingles is an oral antiviral medication, and it's been shown to be quite effective at decreasing the duration of the first initial attack. The question, and what the studies are now being done that Elizabeth Cohen and Benny Jeng are chairing, is to see if long-term these patients are at higher risk of recurrence, and if there's ways with medication that we can decrease that from happening.
Someone comes in with Mrs. Jones. How likely is she to contract it from the patient with shingles?
You know, it's a contact-based disease, so the patient that comes with Mrs. Jones would actually have to be in contact with the secretions from those vesicles. By the time the rash is crusted over, it's no longer contagious to others. I tend to caution our senior citizen patients that take care of their grandkids that are under the age of 4 that have not had their full series of chickenpox vaccines to avoid contact with them until they fully crust it over.
There you go. The immunity
story. And what
story.
I wanted to take, the most interesting thing that we'll now look for in the future is a new vaccine for shingles that may even have a 97% efficacy at reducing the shingles around the eye, but more to come on that over the next few years.
We will bring you back to share more on this. I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes on Radio MD. Visit me on my RadioMD.com page and listen